by Dodie Smith. With Michael Denison as Charles Randolph, Dulcie Gray as Dora, Charlotte Attenborough as Fenny, Nicholas Gex as Nicholas, Penny Downey as Cynthia, Mary Wimbush as Belle, Joanna David as Hilda, Annette Badland as Marjorie, Frances Jeter as Edna, and Dora Bryan as Nanny. The action of the play takes place in the hall, the nursery, and the dining room of the Randolphs' country house in North Essex. The year is 1938. Dear Octopus.
I want jolly hot. Oh,
goodness, what a time they're being over dinner. I wish they'd come out. The maids will never get dark.
Gertrude's stomping about like anything. Why didn't you come to dinner?
On a night like this? We've never had the house so full since I came here.
Do you like being Granny's companion, Ben?
Very much indeed.
I wouldn't. I'd rather be a maid. Maids have nights out.
I could have nights out if I wanted them.
Here, have some chocolate.
No, thank you. I'll have some sandwiches when Cynthia and Great Aunt Belle arrive.
I've never seen Great Aunt Belle. I bet she's a gorgonzola. Oh, hello.
Feeling better, Scrap?
I wasn't ill. I just didn't want any dinner. Hasn't Auntie Cynthia come yet?
Not yet, but the car's gone to meet her. Did you see the telegram that came from your father?
Yes. I'd rather like to see it again.
It's here. Congratulations on your golden wedding. Love to Scrap, David Kenton.
Would you like to have it?
Wouldn't Granny mind?
Of course not.
Then I think I would. Fancy it coming all the way from Singapore.
Not really. They just write them at the post office.
I know that perfectly well. I don't think I'll have it, thank you.
It's the thought that matters, you know. They don't do that at the post office.
But I can remember the thought without a bit of paper, I expect. I'd like to know when Aunt Cynthia comes.
You are a blighter, Bill.
Well, she's so jolly soft.
She's still missing her mother.
It's 2 years since Aunt Nora died. I believe she thinks Aunt Cynthia is going to be like her because they were twins. Is she?
Like Nora? Not in the least. Oh, poor Scrap.
I wish we didn't have any dead people in the family. It sort of spoils the party. Oh, glory, glory, Uncle Nick.
Hello, Bill. Fenny, my dear. Hard at it, I suppose.
Things are a bit hectic.
Where is everyone?
Still at dinner.
I didn't leave the office till after 8. We've just landed the contract for all the gusto publicity.
What, the beastly sauce stuff?
Well, the sauce may be beastly, but the advertisements are grand. Here, what are you doing with my suitcase?
Oh, looking for my present.
It isn't Christmas.
I bet there is one, though. Is this it?
No, that's Flouncey's. And that's for Scrap. I say, what's Scrap like?
Pretty sickening. We have to be very gentle with her.
Here, look out! That's my dress shirt! There you are, you loathsome boy. And that's for you, Fenny.
Oh, why should I get anything?
Well, I just thought you'd like it.
Oh, a flower, Posy. It's charming. Thank you. You are a generous person.
Nonsense. My dear, your hands are rough. Have you been doing a lot of dirty work?
Oh, odds and ends. We've been a bit rushed.
Well, I must buy you some nice, smelly glycerine and whatnot. We advertise some stuff called Lily Hands, but it's really rather lousy.
I'm not allowed to say lousy.
I am. It just shows how unfair life is. Good evening, Gertrude.
Good evening, Mr. Nicholas. Can't you get them out of the dining room, miss?
Try not to upset yourself, Gertrude. I'll help you with the washing up.
No, you won't, miss. You can't do it, Mr. Nicholas, turning 2 in family into 14 in family with only a couple of girls from the village to help.
Gertrude, you're not your sunny self.
No, I am not, sir. And if we feel like this now, how are we going to feel by Monday? A dance tomorrow, if you please. 30 people coming.
Gertrude's been so splendid. It's just this sitting late over dinner.
Well, here, I'll rout them out.
No, leave it to me. Run along and unpack.
Cheer up, Gertrude. Think how slim you'll get.
Your fire's all right. I had a look.
Good. Come and help me to unpack.
Fires in every room.
I know, they're a curse. But the house is so cold. And I'm sure we both want everything to be lovely this weekend.
Yes, of course, miss. They've been looking forward to it, so... every living child under their roof, and Miss Cynthia hasn't been home for 7 years. Only they did ought to come out of that dining room.
Wait, they're coming now. Round you go. I'll be along in a minute to help.
Yes, miss.
And Gertrude, have you got any hand lotion?
Oh, I was washing the nursery paint this morning. I've some cream of lotus buds. I'll lend you some. Annie, they're coming out.
Let's go in.
Terribly late, Finny. Is Gertrude Ruffle?
It's quite all right, Mrs. Randolph. I'm just going to give her a hand.
Thank you, dear. Shall we sit here in the hall or in the drawing room?
There's a splendid fire here, Mrs. Randolph.
Very well, Edna. Just tidy the hearth, will you?
Oh, yes, of course.
We shall need some more chairs.
Can we get some from the drawing room for you, Mr. Randolph?
Thank you, Laura. Let me see now.
Don't count Nancy, because she's going to bed.
Oh, Mummy, I can't. I'm terribly full.
The child's quite right, Marjorie. She oughtn't to sleep on top of that heavy meal. She'd better go for a brisk walk round the garden.
I don't want to go for a brisk walk. I just want to sit still.
Sitting still won't digest your dinner. Run along now. You go with her, Hilda.
I've got a telephone, Mother.
Who to, dear?
My secretary.
Write her a postcard. The telephone is so expensive.
I'll pay for the call myself, Mother. It's an extremely important business matter.
Look, I'll take you, Flancy. I can do with a bit of exercise.
Go with your father, child. And put your galoshes on.
I don't like galoshes, Granny. They make your feet look awful.
Come along, Queen of Sheba.
That child's getting conceited.
She'll grow out of it. I was terribly conceited at her age.
And still are, ugly.
It's a pity you two are so plain. It doesn't give that baby of yours much chance in life.
How do you like being a grandmother, Edna?
I find it comparatively painless, thank you, Mrs. Randolph.
Nanny and I think the baby's got a look of Peter.
Of father? I wish I could remember him.
Funny to think Peter would have been a grandfather.
Oh?
My mother, dear.
It's nothing. I was just wishing he could be here. And Nora, too. I'm quite all right now.
Now, what about these chairs?
I've got to telephone, Mother.
Then telephone, dear, and get it over. You'll find it very drafty.
Don't I know it?
And don't go on talking after the pip, pip, pip. Because they charge you at once. Hilda's business can't be very well run if it won't take care of itself for a weekend.
She's quite a big pot, really, Granny. I read an article on her the other day in a Pioneer Woman series.
Oh, what does she do?
She's an estate agent.
It's a surprise to me that Hilda knows the back of a house from a front. It's after 10. Fanny?
Yes, Mrs. Randolph?
Have the Tupkin girls gone back to the village yet?
No, Mrs. Randolph, they're still here.
I promised their mother. Hugh, I wonder if you'd run them back in your car.
Of course, Granny.
Such a long, dark road. And they really aren't quite right in the head. Tell them to get ready, Fanny.
Yes, Mrs. Randolph.
Is their name really Tupkins?
Yes, dear. At least it's their mother's name. I'm afraid they're illegitimate twins.
Really?
Well, dear, villagers are like that. We've been a little better since we had the cinema.
Coming, Laura.
Righto.
Edna, dear, I wonder if you'd mind having one last look round the bedroom fires, particularly Aunt Beryl's. Afraid the journey will have tired her. They'll be here any minute now.
Yes, of course, Mrs. Randolph.
Marjorie, dear, just run along to the kitchen and see if you can do anything. It's really time the sandwiches came in.
Very well, Mother.
Oh, and just see if Hilda's still telephoning. I don't think she really understands about the pip, pip, pip.
Yes, Mother.
Oh, and tell her it's 11p every time it pips.
Yes, Mother.
Were you saying something about chairs, Charles?
I was, my love. But as you've successfully found little jobs for everyone, we've really found more chairs than we need.
So we have. Well, I shall be glad of a little breathing space before the others arrive. Oh, I do hope everything goes off well. All our children live such busy lives. I should like this weekend to be a real rest for them.
Yes, dear. Is there anything you'd like me to do before I sit down?
No, I don't think so.
Ah.
Ah, just put another log on, will you?
Oh, yes, of course, dear.
Charles?
Yes, Mother.
I can't help feeling we ought to have gone to meet Cynthia.
Now, you know, we decided...
Oh, I agree we mustn't appear to be rushing at her. But just the car and the chauffeur. So cold. So unwelcoming. After 7 years. If only I knew the reason.
Haven't we agreed to accept the reason she's given? She's been busy, it hasn't been convenient, and Paris is a long way.
Oh, stuff and nonsense. I'd have popped over to see her long ago if I hadn't been frightened of what I should find.
You know, I'm really very much touched that Belle should want to come down to us this weekend.
Well, I dare say she's very glad to. She's probably pretty much at a loose end in England.
Oh, I can't imagine Belle at a loose end anywhere.
You must be prepared for a pretty big change in her.
Oh, I suppose so. 25 years in America.
25 years anywhere. Charles, how old is Belle?
I'm blessed if I know.
She married your brother William in 89. I'm sure she's older than I am.
She must be 71.
I think she's older.
How strange.
What?
To think of Belle as old. All that red gold hair.
That'll be gone anyhow. I wonder if she'll be white like me, or just streaky. Oh. So many women go streaky. I expect we shall get a bit of a shock.
What at?
Her looks. Poor Belle. She'd have never taken William if she could have got you.
Oh, nonsense. I wonder what her American husband was like.
He certainly left her very well off. That's the car.
Now, keep calm, dear. Now, Dora, don't excite yourself. It's only Belle. Cynthia isn't there.
Oh, Charles.
No, don't fret. There are two more trains tonight.
She's not coming. Oh, she'll never come.
Charles. Belle. Oh, isn't this splendid?
Belle, my dear.
Oh, Dora, you're as pretty as ever. Oh, isn't this just too exciting?
Let me take your coat and hat.
Thank you. There we are.
Belle.
Well, have I changed so much?
You haven't changed at all.
Oh, if that isn't the nicest thing I've heard since I landed.
It hasn't gone grey at all.
And my hair, maybe sea green for all I know. It's a good 20 years since I saw its natural colour.
Do you mean it's dyed?
Well, it's, helped. Now, don't go looking at me through a microscope because I can't stand up to it. You want to get a quick general impression.
My dearest Belle, you've defeated age.
It's extraordinary. We were just saying, how old are you, Belle?
What, you don't know? Then nobody knows. Not one soul in the world. Isn't that fine?
Aren't you going to tell us?
I am not.
Just as you wish, of course. But it seems a bit silly when one gets to our time of life.
Oh, it's all a question of one's attitude to life. I don't like old age, and I'm not giving it any sort of helping hand. Oh, my, it's fun to be back in this room. I don't think you've changed a thing. Oh, where am I sleeping?
In Little Spare. You always like that.
Is Moses still in the bulrushes?
Certainly. It's a very fine engraving.
Yeah, I slept there the first time I stayed here, when Will and I were engaged. Hello, who's here?
I'm Belle.
Marjorie's youngest.
She knows. She sends us presents every Christmas. I expect I'm a bit older than you imagined.
You certainly are.
She sent me a woolly rabbit last year.
And I do apologise.
No, it's quite all right. The dog liked it.
I suppose you're at school.
Not just a present. I was expelled.
Whatever for?
For using bad language. Would you like to know what I said?
I certainly would. We'll make a date for tomorrow.
Oh, now, don't encourage him. Go to bed, Bill.
Hello, everybody.
Cynthia!
Oh, my dear. My dear, dear Cynthia.
Mother, darling. Hello, Father.
My dear.
Goodness! Is it Aunt Belle?
It certainly is.
How did you get here?
By the bus. My suitcase is down at the Green Man.
Tell Thompson to go for it at once.
Righto, Granny. I'm Bill.
Hello, Bill.
I'll be back.
I can't think why you wanted to come on the bus.
I thought I'd like to drive through the villages. Things haven't changed much, except for those hideous bungalows.
And the council houses. Still, this part's pretty unspoiled.
No electric light yet?
It's coming to the village next year, but we shan't have it. I never did fancy having the house wired. Cynthia, you're not in mourning.
Heavens no, Mother. Everyone wears black in Paris.
And that looks remarkably like Raquel.
It is. I work for her.
Oh, as a mannequin?
Nothing so glamorous. Just a sort of receptionist and general odd jobber.
You're looking thin, my darling.
Well, thank God for that. I used to be terribly buxom. You two haven't changed a bit.
Oh, I'm afraid we have. It's 7 years since...
Yes. This room shrunk. I suppose rooms always do. Where's Fenny? Where's everyone?
They're about somewhere.
Oh. Hello.
This is Scrap, Aunt Cynthia. She particularly wanted to see you.
This is our very first meeting, isn't it?
Yes. How do you do? I hope you had a pleasant journey.
And here's your great-aunt Belle, Scrap. Such a lot of new relations.
I always thought your name was Kathleen.
It is, but Mummy always... I've always been called Scrap. Granny, would it be all right if I went to bed now?
You ought to be in bed already, darling. Run along.
Good night.
Good night, Scrap.
Night.
Good night.
I didn't exactly make a hit.
I think she was expecting you to be like her mother.
Like Nora. Oh, poor little devil.
I'm very worried about her. I don't at all like the sound of the school she's at. I must write to her father. Bill, go to bed.
All right, Granny, but it's no good. The house is so restless.
Why don't you show me my room, and maybe we'll find some candies.
Oh, I think I'll go up too, Mother. I want to wash. Am I in my own room?
Of course. Don't be long. Charles, I knew it. There is something wrong with Cynthia. That hard, cold manner.
Now, Dora.
We've let it go on too long. We've lost her, Charles.
Do try to keep calm, my dear. Our one chance of making contact is to be absolutely natural and casual.
How can I be casual when I've only got one weekend? My poor Cynthia. Anyone can see she's not happy.
She was always your favourite.
I never had favourites. I loved them all equally. And I always liked Cynthia best. We were such friends.
Hello.
Nicholas. Why did no one tell me you were here?
Hello, Mother darling. How are you, Father?
Glad to see you, my boy.
And congratulations to you both.
Just see if Fen is getting the sandwiches, will you, dear?
Right, I'll give her a hand.
Well, what do you think of Bill?
Astonishing. Not a day older.
Poof. One soon sees.
Well, I can't say I did. Of course, she's always had a magnificent complexion.
Belle never had a complexion at all. She just had a skin. And I shouldn't think she's seen that for years.
Dora, really?
It must be very worrying to take a face like that out in the rain.
I do love you when you're being catty.
I'm not being catty at all. I think she's in a magnificent state of preservation. By the way, I've worked it out. She's 73.
Nonsense, she's still in her 60s.
Now you're being simple. She's 73 at the least, and I'm not at all sure she couldn't be 75. I shall wear my silver tomorrow, not my black.
Whatever you wear, you'll cut her out.
I was being catty.
You were, my love, you were.
You two having words?
Certainly not.
I don't believe you. During my entire life, the slightest disagreement between you has been settled by Father kissing you on top of the head.
I sometimes kiss your mother on the top of the head when we've not had a disagreement.
Well, one way or another, it's remarkable she has her hair left. Sandwiches on this table?
That's right, dear.
Where would you like the whiskey, Mother?
Ah, Marjorie. Whiskey on the table over there, please. How are things in the kitchen, Nicholas?
Oh, it looks like a battlefield. Gertrude, Annie and Cook are doing a sort of juggling act with the washing up.
Ah.
I won't offer you a sandwich, Marjorie, because it wouldn't be kind.
Do you really think I'm heavier?
Not more than a couple of stone.
You don't take enough exercise. When you were a child, you were always curled up in a chair.
Couldn't curl up in a chair now, could you, dear? Ah, well, what's broad in the beam comes out in the bust.
Nicholas!
Go on, you know you want one.
Well, just one.
Come on in, Fanny. You must be famished.
I am rather hungry.
Cynthia! Hello.
Hello, Marge. I say, you put on a bit.
You beast! You're slimmer than ever. Oh, well, you haven't had two children.
No, I haven't done that. How are you, Fanny? Hello, Nicholas.
Hello, Cynthia. How are you, Edna?
Can you manage Friday, Nicholas? I've got the seats.
Friday? Yes, that's all right.
How nice it is to have a brother-in-law to take you out, Edna. Especially now that Hugh is married.
I took Edna out long before Hugh married. Or rather, she took me.
Ah, Belle, dear. Now, let me see. My daughter-in-law, Edna.
Oh, we met upstairs.
I'm Marjorie.
Save us, you with a little skinny one.
I'm having a loathsome evening.
Oh, Belle, you look marvellous. Oh. Let me press a very sardini kiss on your cheek.
Oh, Nicholas. And not married or anything?
I don't know what you mean by or anything.
You're a born bachelor, Nicholas.
Oh, and is this another daughter-in-law?
No, this is our very dear Grace Fenny.
Oh.
My companion.
Oh, don't call her that, Mother. Such a dreary name.
Won't you have some sandwiches?
Oh, thank you.
Hilda, where on earth have you been?
I told you, Mother, telephoning. Aunt Belle. Hilda. How very nice. Cynthia. What an age it is.
You weren't really telephoning all that time, Hilda.
Yes, Mother.
Really? Do you know what that costs?
Yes, Mother. I asked the exchange. 6 and 5 pence. Here it is.
I shouldn't dream of taking your money. But really, I never heard anything so extravagant. Put it away, dear.
Oh, very well.
Where are you going now?
I want to make sure I put the receiver on.
And before dinner, it was the bathroom taps. She went all the way upstairs to see if she'd turn them off. Really, I don't think she's quite sane.
And she's sane enough to make a damn good income.
Well, was it on?
Yes.
Quite sure?
Oh, Mother, don't.
Hilda, if you go back again, I'll have you certified. Really, I think it's about time we all made a move. Now, we can manage 2 hot baths tonight and 3 tomorrow morning. Will you have yours now, Bill?
Well, if it'll make things easier. I suppose I'd better say goodnight, then.
No, don't bother, Auntie. We shall go on bumping into each other on landings for hours, yes?
I'll say a provisional one, then.
Good night. Good night.
Finish your dress for the dance, Fanny.
I've still got the hem to turn up.
Oh, slip it on and I'll do it for you.
Would you really? Oh, but there's the glass to put away.
Edna, dear, you'll do the glass, won't you?
Very well, Mrs. Randolph.
I'll go down the back way into the sewing room.
I don't believe Edna knows where the glasses belong.
Give us a hand with the trays. Yeah. Marjorie, help to get your weight down.
Oh!
Here you go.
Okay, well.
Have you worked your dinner off, Flouncy?
I wish you wouldn't call me Flouncy, Grandpa.
I must try to remember your name's Gwen.
I don't like Gwen much better. I think I should like you to call me Guinevere.
Well, you stop being such a vain little peacock, and perhaps we'll stop calling you Flouncy.
I'm not vain. If Granny sends me any galoshes, I shan't wear them.
Well, you hop off to bed. Come on, I'll take you upstairs.
Yes, Edna, on the very top shelf. Good gracious, where is everyone? People just slide away. Marjorie, I wanted to...
No, not tonight, dear. You'll be worn out. Just come along to bed.
Perhaps I will. I do want to be fresh for her tomorrow. Did you notice how stiff she was?
Who?
Bill, of course. Those stairs took her all our time. You can have your face lifted, but you've still got to lift your own legs. You can lock up.
I'll come down later. Hugh and Laurel are still out.
I'm thankful to say that stairs have never been any trouble to me. I believe she's 77.
Oh, hush, Dora, she'll hear.
I'm not at all sure that she's not 78. Hello? Have they all gone to bed?
Quite probably. Rather a good job. You must find them a bit overpowering.
Your family? I adore them. I wish I had ancestors.
Well, of course you have.
People who are born in flats don't have ancestors. Were you born here?
Yes.
And your father, and your grandfather, and your great-grandfather, and his father.
And not him. He built it.
Who'll it come to eventually?
No one, I should think. It'll just be sold.
But that's not right. Your father was the eldest son. Why isn't it entailed?
Good Lord, it isn't one of the stately homes of England. Can't think of a worse fate than having to live in it.
But don't you see how romantic it is? Think, baby's great-great-great-grandfather...
was a draper in Colchester. Do you get much of a kick out of that?
Was your grandfather a draper too?
I believe he kept an eye on the business when he and Granny were first married, but he retired before he was 40.
Do you mean he hasn't done anything at all for all these years?
Oh, I expect Granny found him a few little jobs. What are you looking at?
Your father's picture. He was exactly your age when he was killed. Oh, darling, darling.
What?
Sometimes I wish we were quite middle-aged.
Good Lord, why?
So that you wouldn't have to go if there's another war.
It'll take a damn good cause to get me to war.
Oh, you all say that.
Come on, Face. Don't get mopey. Ready for bed?
I suppose so. We must have a look at baby. Oh, Hugh, isn't it thrilling to think he's sleeping in your father's nursery with your father's old nurse to look after him?
It's a jolly sight more thrilling to think it won't be us he'll wake up in the middle of the night.
Oh, hello. Where have you been?
Putting the car away. Is that the dress?
Cynthia's going to sew it for me tomorrow.
I don't ever remember you in evening dress.
You've seen me in one every Christmas. They've mostly been black.
Do you know what I remember you in best? A grey flannel suit and a hat like a little pork pie. You wore it the first day you came here.
Fancy you remembering.
You stood there in the doorway clutching a sort of Gladstone bag, looking exactly like little orphan Annie.
I felt a bit like her. You were all at tea.
I thought you were the most superb family I had ever seen.
And what do you think of us after, well, how long? 10 years.
Oh, you're not so bad.
Sit down a minute. I feel like talking. I was walking around the garden just now, looking at all the bedroom windows lit up. Something rather heartbreaking about family gatherings.
How do you mean?
Well, I don't know exactly. I suppose they make you realize the shortness of life. Old age simply rushing at one. We used to be such a nice-looking lot of kids. Look at us now. Marjorie, fat as a barrel. Hilda getting completely desiccated. And Cynthia sitting about registering the woman with a past.
I don't see any of them like that. And look at your father and mother. Haven't they grown old beautifully?
Nothing grows old beautifully. Well, Aunt Belle's a scream, isn't she? Just held together with sticking plaster.
Oh, you are the most extraordinary person. I've never known anyone who's so kind-hearted and yet so malicious.
Am I often malicious?
Quite a bit. I wonder if you could be cruel.
Well, I expect so. How clever of you to find me out. I always take a vow on the threshold to be the sunny boy of the party.
You usually are, do you?
Oh, the family. I'm never quite sure if I love it or loathe it. I believe I'd rather give £50 than come to these gatherings of the clan.
Rubbish. You like them, really.
Well, they've got some sort of horrible fascination. Even if they do start me thinking of death and worms. I say, why do you let me drivel on like this? Edna would have given me a kick in the pants long ago.
Would she?
Oh, Edna's very good to me. I wonder if old Peter will look down on our grand family dinner on Sunday. My God, I've got a nerve to sentimentalise about the tragedy of growing old. Do you know, I only missed the war by inches. Hey, you pop off to bed. You're a very sweet person, Finny. You look about 14 sitting there in your dressing gown.
I'm 29.
Crikey, are you? Don't you ever grudge the years you've spent with this dreary family?
Not one of them. And it's not dreary. I'm sorry I said you were malicious.
My dear, it's perfectly true. But I don't think I could ever be malicious about you. This poor hand. It's just like a nutmeg grater. Dear Fanny.
Oh!
Ah, hello, Edna. Come and get warm.
No, thanks.
You go along to bed, Fanny. You'll be dog-tired in the morning. Hop, see Daisy. Legs tired?
A bit.
Shall I carry you?
Of course not. Good night, Edna.
Good night.
Good night, my dear.
Nicholas, I call that the limit, sitting holding Fanny's hand.
Have you gone out of your senses?
Oh, I know it's your thoughtlessness, unless... Well, I suppose you don't happen to be in love with her.
Good God, no.
Then you might have a little more imagination.
Will you lock up, Nicholas?
All right, Father.
And see to the fire.
I will. What do you mean, Edna?
If you really don't know, perhaps I was just being officious.
Good night.
Good night.
Good King Wenceslas looked out.
Quiet, Bill!
Sorry, Grandpa. Thought it was Christmas.
Mugs in this nursery.
Always, Miss Scrap.
This is the very same mug that Mummy had, isn't it, Nanny?
Which mug did my Mummy have?
Let me see now. Of course, some of them got broken. Oh, yes, your mother had a bluebird mug.
Do you mean it might have been this very one?
Sure to have been.
Oh.
Now, don't you go thinking about it. Your mother wouldn't want you to brood.
But I like thinking about
That's
it.
That's enough, dear. Finish your milk, Miss Flouncey.
I've told you to call me.
Oh, hurry up. I want to paint.
No, you don't, Master Bill. We say grace in this nursery. For what we have received, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Selfridges.
Why did you say that?
I always do.
He's a very naughty boy.
Come on, let's clear the table. You too, Guinevere.
Oh.
Careful of that lift now.
Good morning, cook. The dishes are coming down.
Fill the cup with water, Scrap, and then we can start.
You won't get long for your painting. We'll be going out walking in no time. I'll be back for your children in a quarter of an hour.
I may be going out with Great Aunt Belle. She wants to know what I said at school.
What did you say at school?
He said, damn blast, devil hell, and strike me pink.
You beast, Flouncy. It's my language, I tell it. I said, swelp me too.
Swelp you? What does that mean?
Something frightful.
I don't think much of it. I know a worse word than any of those.
You don't.
What is it?
I couldn't tell you. It's too awful.
Oh, go on, Scrap.
She's just pretending.
I'm not pretending. It's the most terrible word there is. It's district nurse.
District nurse? But they put that on gates.
You silly baby. Everyone knows what district nurse means.
It might have a double meaning, Fancy.
Of course it hasn't.
I'm afraid you've got it wrong, Scrap, but I'll find out. I say, Fancy, you've made this water filthy. Why do you want to paint everyone in black?
It's fashionable.
You can use any colours you like, Scrap, except the cobalt blue. That's my special colour.
I'm painting horses and they're very seldom blue. I don't want your beastly kobold. And it is an awful word.
All right. I told you I'd find out.
Isn't Nanny taking you for a walk?
Presently. We're just using my new paint box.
Oh, I say, that is a beauty.
Do you know Scrap, Uncle Nicholas?
I looked in on her last night.
Careful, Bill. You're running your trees into your sky. Give me the brush. There. Just saved it.
Oh, you can't have everything in black, Flouncy. Give them some red buttons and red heels to their shoes. Here, budge up a bit.
Why don't you make that one a zebra, Scrap?
Because it's a horse.
Yes, but you could make it a zebra with some white stripes. Look, we'll use the Chinese white, like this.
I've given it a jolly old red hat. Why don't you have a red hat, Marjorie?
Half a minute, Ken. This is quite difficult.
I used to be awfully good at painting. Just a second, Scrap, while I do under his stomach.
I often think I ought to have gone in for art.
There! Oh, I don't think that's too bad.
We'll make it a herd of zebras.
Oh, wouldn't you like to play the piano, Mummy?
No, thank you, Bill.
Oh, darling, you smudged it. Oh, you are a clumsy old cow.
Oh.
Bill, never let me hear you use that word again.
What word? Clumsy?
No, cow. You must not call me a cow.
But you don't mind me calling you a donkey?
I'm not really keen on it. And anyhow, cow's different. You must never call anyone a cow.
Can't I call a cow a cow?
You can call a cow, but you must never call a lady a cow. Now go and get ready for your walk.
You'll understand when you're older, old chap. It's a sort of double meaning.
Golly, a nice little word like cow. Perhaps you're right, Scrap. District nurse. District nurse.
What about the district nurse?
Don't you mind me saying it?
Not if it gives you any pleasure. It's very silly, of course.
Told you so, Scrap.
Run along, all of you. You'll keep Nanny waiting.
Yes, Aunt Marjorie. Very well.
Kenneth, how heavily you're breathing.
Oh, I've given the whole bally lot of them red hats.
Marjorie!
Is that Mother calling?
I'm afraid so. She wants extra eggs from Walting's farm.
No, I'm damned if I'll go. There's no car road and it's in a sea of mud. Oh, come on, Ken. Hmm? We'll slip down the back stairs and hide in the greenhouse.
Oh, yeah, but if your mother wants...
Hilda can jolly well go. Oh, don't give us away, Fanny. Come on, Ken.
Good old Marjorie. She always was the champion job evader. I feel very well disposed towards the world.
Do you?
Wakened up feeling absolutely sunny.
Good. You were a bit on the morbid side last night.
Well, that's all gone.
I lay awake this morning smelling coffee and bacon being cooked and felt that things were exactly as they should be.
Yes.
I feel positively glowing with human kindness. I wonder why. What are you looking for?
Some French chalk to make the drawing room floor slippery.
Well, I say, don't overdo it. It's horsework keeping those vicarage girls on their feet. Why will Mother give these dances? Does she still insist on dance programmes?
She does. They've got wedding bells on them.
Then I shall bag 6 dances and we'll sit out on the back stairs.
Last time I sat on the back stairs, I got kissed on the ear.
Fanny! Who by?
The curate with the wig.
I knew you had a past. Has this curate with the wig left you with any inhibitions about being kissed on the ear?
I don't know.
Then you should find out. On the back stairs. Remember, it's an assignation.
Anything you want from the village, miss?
Yes, Nanny. Try to get some French chalk.
Let's go in the woods, Nanny.
And me with a perambulator. Get along with you. Come on, you three.
Take us in the woods, Uncle Nick.
Will you come, Fanny?
Oh, I'm up to my eyes in jobs.
Oh, can I help?
No, you go with him.
All right. Back soon.
Come on, we'll give the others a slip. We'll
still run out.
All right. Oh, now, don't be a fool.
Have you seen Nicholas?
He's gone with the children, Edna. Do come and look at the zebra he's been painting.
Are you all right, Fanny? You look flushed.
Never felt better in my life. He's put bows on their tails.
Oh, my dear.
What?
Fanny, please don't think I mean to be officious, but I know how you feel about Nicholas. We all know.
What do you know?
Oh, my dear, don't look like that. There's nothing whatever to be ashamed of. But he's so thoughtless and, well, I'm not going to stand by and let you make a fool of yourself.
How dare you?
Fanny.
How dare you? How dare you?
Don't speak to me like that. I'm terribly sorry I spoke. I've done it clumsily.
Yes, you have. Oh, how can everyone know? I've never told anyone. Does he know?
No. You see, my dear, if he knew you cared for him, he'd be on his guard. I know him so well, Fanny. He's got such easy, affectionate manners. Any unsophisticated woman might think...
Please go away, Edna.
I wish I'd spoken earlier. All these wasted years slaving in this house. How dense men are. I saw in a flash last night that you were getting the wrong impression. I'm desperately sorry for you. I'll do anything to help. Will you let me pay for some training for you?
No.
You'll stop on here.
I don't know what I shall do. I ought to get on with my work. Mrs. Randolph will be wanting...
Well, stay here a bit. I'll go and dance attendance on her. My dear, I am so sorry.
That's all right. I've been a fool. It was kindest to tell me.
You keep quiet till you feel a little better.
Oh, where's the little scrap child?
They're all out walking.
Ah, I got some hot cakes from Cook. You like one?
No, thank you.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Has Mother been overworking you?
No, it's not.
Oh, Fanny, darling, whatever is it? Oh,
she said everyone knew.
Knew what?
Fanny, Mother wants you to...
Then she'll just have to want. Fanny's upset.
Fanny, dear? What is the matter? Is it Nicholas? He doesn't mean to be unkind.
Oh, you did know.
That you're fond of him? Well, there's no harm in that, is there?
You didn't know, did you, Cynthia? You couldn't. You haven't been home for years.
Well, I used to think you were a bit smitten with him. Has it been going on all this time? Lord, how unhappy you must have been.
Oh, I've never been unhappy. I've loved my life here. People have been so good to me. And he's always been so kind.
But only kind?
Yes, I suppose so. But just lately, last night, this morning, he seemed different somehow. I thought... Oh, but I'm what Edna calls an unsophisticated woman. I've just made a fool of myself.
Do you mean Edna actually had the cheek?
Perhaps Nicholas has known all this time and he's just pitying me. But she said he doesn't, but I expect she'll tell him.
Oh, no, she won't. We'll take care of that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm making such an ass of myself. Lord, I haven't cried for years. I'd better do something with my face. And there are dozens of jobs waiting for me. I'll be all right. Oh, if only she'd waited till after this weekend.
Fenny! What's up with her? Come in a minute and shut the door.
Mother wants the bells on the dance programmes painted gold. It's a nice, peaceful job, and I'm going to take a long time over it.
Did you know Fenny was in love with Nicholas?
Yes, of course. Has she gone violent or something?
It's Edna. As far as I can make out, she's been warning Fenny off.
What damn cheek.
But is there anything between Nicholas and Edna?
Good Lord, no. She's years older than he is. Besides, Edna's an iceberg. I always think she had Hugh by correspondence course.
She's managed to scare other women out of Nicholas's life pretty effectively. It's jolly convenient to have a good-looking young man to trot you round London. I often wish I had one. Not a romance, you know, just a presentable escort.
We must get her away from here. What would Mother do without her?
I tell you, she was absolutely heartbroken.
Why now more than always?
Because the whole thing's come out into the open. And she's terrified that Nicholas knows. Any girl with any pride.
Of course, I never had any pride. I just twined myself round Kenneth. He says he liked it. Well, if Nicholas does guess, she must show him he's wrong. Tell her to flirt with the lads of the village tonight. Tell you what, I'll lend her Kenneth. He rather admires her.
Do you mean you'd put him wise?
There isn't any need. Ken will carry on with anyone who crooks their little finger at him.
But don't you mind?
Not in the least. It's a safety valve. I know what happens to the husbands that don't carry on. You see nature in the roar at our golf club.
I wonder if she could carry it off.
Of course she can. She's got quite a bit of spirit. Won't really take Nicholas in if he has spotted her, but she'll think it will. And she can settle down to another 10 years of patient adoration.
Oh, damn that blasted Edna. Oh, hello, Scrap. Come and sit by the fire.
I'm not cold, thank you. Are you going to wear that dress tonight?
No, it's Fenny's. Why?
I just thought it looked a nice sort of dress. It's a bit like one Mummy used to wear.
She always likes soft, pretty dresses.
Yes. Auntie Cynthia?
Yes, Scrap?
There was a photograph of her and you in dresses made exactly alike, with lots of frills on.
Oh, I remember. It was taken on our 21st birthday. We looked quite a bit alike in that photograph.
Yes, I thought you did. But I suppose it was only the dresses. You're not a bit like her, really. It's funny, isn't it? I thought twins were always alike.
We were very much alike in our thoughts. I missed her terribly when she married. Went to Singapore. Do you still miss her? Or perhaps you'd rather not talk about it?
I think I would like to talk about it. Everybody seems to be frightened of mentioning her.
They don't want to upset you.
But it doesn't upset me. It brings her back a bit. That's why I wanted to come to this house, to see the things she used to see. I thought perhaps it would help me to keep her a bit longer.
Scrap, darling, I'm sure that isn't right. You must try to get over it.
But I have got over it. And I don't like being over it. I don't feel miserable anymore, you know. But, well, I don't feel anything anymore. That's rather dull, isn't it?
Is it a sort of empty feeling?
Yes, it's exactly that. Just meals and lessons and nothing hurting anymore. I don't like it. I suppose I sound silly.
Not to me. I believe I'm in exactly the same place as you are. Sort of limbo of the mind. Oh, that was stupid of me. You couldn't understand.
But I do know about limbo. It's in between heaven and hell. People there aren't happy and they aren't miserable. They just aren't anything. Why, of course I see that's it.
You're very intelligent.
Well, I am in bits. Why are you in limbo, Auntie Cynthia?
I'm talking a lot of nonsense. Oh, there's your granny calling.
She does seem to call people rather a lot, doesn't she?
Scratch.
Auntie Cynthia?
Hmm?
Will we ever get out of limbo?
You will, Scrap. I promise you by everything that ever was.
Then I promise you, too.
Scrap, dear, your granny wants you.
Yes, I'm going.
Well, I've had a word with Edna.
What did she say?
All done with the highest motives. Felt it her duty. Deeply upset. However, she says Nicholas doesn't know, which is something.
I must tell Fenny.
I've told her.
Was she terribly relieved?
Well, of course. But she's still pretty nervous. She'll do anything on earth to put him off the scent. I offered her Kenneth, and she was very much obliged. And apparently there's a man in the village who's rather keen on her who's coming tonight. A sort of gentleman chicken farmer. Hello, Fenny. You look better.
I've put a little rouge on. And I do feel a little better.
Here's the dress. That'll help.
I thought I'd wear my old black.
Ooh, you can't flirt with my husband in your old black. Mind you, put rouge on again tonight. It suits you.
And I'll give you one of Raquel's new lipsticks. You're both being angels. If I can just get through this weekend, he won't be home again until Christmas.
The whole thing will have blown over by then.
Fenny!
Pull yourself together now. It's no different from when you saw him last.
Ah, there you are. I brought you some hand lotion.
Oh, thanks. As a matter of fact, I borrowed some of Gertrude's. But thanks all the same.
Well, there's gratitude for you.
She thanked you, didn't she? What do you expect for a tuppenny halfpenny bottle of hand lotion?
I expect she's overworked.
She looked a bit flushed.
D.
Thank you.
And that's all that remains of my musical education.
What are you all doing?
Nothing whatever.
Enjoying a few moments' well-earned peace.
In this house? I don't believe it. There used to be peace here. I remember hours of it on this windowsill. Will anybody please explain to me why time goes so much faster nowadays? Is it something to do with the world in general, or is it just a sign of middle age?
Strange. I was talking about that to Fenny last night. There seemed to be hours and hours to spare when we were kids.
We were probably very bored.
I wasn't. I was always so blooming hopeful. Oh, this nursery is rather a harrowing place, really. I wish I hadn't such an abominably good memory.
Why, you had a happy childhood.
Oh, that's why, you goof.
Why didn't you come home sooner, Cynthia? Of course, I've always imagined you were up to something very peculiar in Paris, but I've never known what.
If you really want to know, Hilda, I've been living with a married man who couldn't get a divorce. I lived with him for 6 years, and I am not living with him anymore.
Is that all? I imagine far worse. I really don't see why that kept you from coming home for 7 years.
Neither do I. You know how Mother feels about that sort of thing. You remember how she talked to us when we grew up.
Didn't she say she'd rather see our coffins lowered down the stairs?
That was Grandma. She had a perfect lust for seeing coffins lowered down the stairs. Mother's not as bad as that. Still, she would have minded. I happen to be very fond of her.
Well, you know your own business best.
Has it bust up for good?
It has. And I'd rather not talk about it.
I often think I should like to live with a man myself, just so that he could shut the front door for me at night. I sometimes go back 10 times to see if it's really closed.
Hilda, this neurotic business of yours is getting past a joke. Are you doing anything about it?
I'm really too busy. If I had time, I'd be psychoanalyzed.
It's getting dark. I don't like the autumn anymore. I wonder if the rest of you mind growing old as much as I do.
You were always so conscious of ages.
Yes, Sin. You used to say they had colours. The teens were green, the 20s yellow, the 30s blue, and the 40s a horrible, horrible brown.
I don't really mind being 40.
I shall. On my 40th birthday, I shall look in the glass and say, it's true, it's happened to you, middle age. And so will old age, and so will death. Only I shan't believe a word of it.
What do you think about it all, Marge?
What all?
Oh, just life, time, change, love, and what have you.
Well, I'm tolerably happy.
Sorry. I don't seem to remember you being quite so bovine, Ma. Funny how unalike we three are. I wish to God Nora hadn't died.
I dreamed of Peter last night. He was in uniform, looking as young as Hugh.
Well, we may be getting into the sear and yellow, but at least we are here, which is more than Peter and Nora are.
How do you know?
Cynthia, don't. Not that I mind, really.
Oh, here you all are.
Hello, Aunt Belle.
I remember coming to tea in this nursery when I was 10 on your father's birthday.
Your ghosts must be quite different from our ghosts. Hmm? Come and tell us the secret of age without tears.
Oh, you should ask your mother that. I haven't discovered it. I remember once asking a very old lady about old age, and she said, "Well, my dear, there are always muffins for tea."
If one likes muffins.
Oh, you will. You'll be surprised what a taste you'll develop for mental muffins. Even I am.
What? All in the dark. Lights and lamps, Nicholas.
Yes, Mother.
We've been to the village. Just put my hat and coat away for me, will you, Hilda?
Yes, Mother.
Come and get warm, Charles. It's turned quite chilly.
There ought to be a good fire in the hall. There ought always to be a good fire in the hall. I cannot think why, with the house crammed full of people, no one has time to keep that fire in.
Yes, dear, but everyone's been very busy. Really, I think we might have tea up here as the drawing room's cleared for dancing.
Oh, nursery tea, that sounds delightful.
We must count up. Hugh and Laurel are at the vicarage. Edna's lying down.
Ken's gone for a tramp.
Then we're 10. Tell cook, will you, Marjorie? I think we might have muffins.
I'll tell her. Tea in the nursery, please. And muffins for 10. Yes, that's right. She was surprised.
Not, of course, that there will be muffins. One always says muffins and means crumpets. Come and get warm, Scrap dear.
Yes, Granny.
Oh, how cold your hands are. Cynthia, you're right out of everything, sitting on the piano stool.
I'm quite happy, Mother.
Play something, dear.
Oh, do you still sing, Dora? Do you remember the Kerry dance?
What a memory you have, Aunt Belle.
I don't believe you've sung that for 20 years, Dora.
Oh, yes, I have. I sang it right through only last week, just to please myself.
Oh. Sing it now, Granny.
I couldn't. I've no voice left. Can you play it, Cynthia?
No, Mother, I'm sure I can't.
Oh, go on, Sin. You can play anything.
Just try it, dear.
That's it?
You always had such a pretty voice.
Well, Mummy used to sing this.
Did she, darling?
We used to sing it together.
Then you must sing it with me and help me out with the high notes. You mustn't any of you expect too much. Come by the piano, Scrap dear. Isn't it a bit high, Cynthia?
It's in the usual key, Mother.
Yes, I suppose it is.
Carry dancing through the ring of the piper's tune. Oh, for one of those eyes of gladness, gone, alas, like our youth too soon. When the boys began to gather in that endless summer night, and the carry piper's tuning made us long with wild delight. Oh, to think of it, oh, to dream of it, fills my heart with tears. Oh, the days of the carry dancing, oh, the ring of the piper's tune. Oh, for one of those hours of gladness, gone, alas, like our youth.
I'm sorry. I can't remember it.
Oh, go on, Sin.
No, I can't.
Oh, come on.
I won't. Cynthia, my dear.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself upsetting Mother like this. Do you suppose you've got a monopoly of sensitive feelings? A woman of your age ought to have more control, Cynthia.
Oh, God.
How could you speak to her like that, Uncle Nicholas? And poor Auntie Sylvia.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Nicholas. Oh, shut up, Flouncy. Here, come.
Oh, good Lord. Laura, my dear, please don't distress yourself.
I oughtn't to have sung. It upset them.
No, it's nothing, Dora. It just got worked up.
You sang beautifully, Granny.
No, dear. I was a conceited old woman to try. I couldn't manage the high notes at all.
But you put in lots of expression.
Thank you, Bill. Tell your Aunt Hilda we're all... Well, some of us are having tea here in the nursery.
Yes, Granny.
I do apologize.
But why, Dora?
They're all so upset.
They'll be all right, my dear.
Oh, Master Bill told me muffins for 10.
Our plans have changed, little Gertrude. That'll be all. Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am.
Nursery tea. Muffins, Belle?
Thank you, Charles. I think I will.
I've been reading to the kids. It's hopeless to expect them to sleep at the dance in the house.
Half the village seems to be here. Mm. I say, did you notice Fanny?
I thought she looked very pretty.
Well, she always looks quite pretty. But good Lord, I think she must have gone a bit dotty tonight. She danced 6 times running with that frightful chicken farmer.
There's no law against it.
Yes, but you should have seen her giggling and flirting. And just now with Kenneth.
She doesn't get many parties. I don't blame her for enjoying herself.
Yes, but... Well, I suppose the poor little devil doesn't know any better.
Nicholas, do you like Fanny?
Of course I like her. Don't we all like her? She's a family institution.
Yes, I see.
I say, Cynthia, sorry about this afternoon.
My fault. Served me right. But I just couldn't stand it. That song and Mother's voice breaking and poor Nora's child. You felt the same, didn't you?
Yes. That's why I barked at you.
Between the two of us, we've upset Mother pretty badly.
Well, my dear, she's completely recovered 30 minutes after when I apologized. Mother has an invincible happiness.
Lord, I wish I'd never come. Her eyes follow me about, asking questions.
Why are you young things in here in the nursery instead of dancing?
Feeling rather mature, Auntie.
Oh, nonsense. We had a turn ourselves, didn't we, Joel?
And now we're going to indulge in a little sitting out.
Oh.
Do you remember the dancing class, Sin?
Fan, mittens and bronze sandals and you boys skulking in the corner.
Well, come on, I'll show them.
All right.
They played it at our dancing class, too.
And at the dance your mother gave for us bridesmaids the night of your wedding.
I missed that. I rather think I was on the English Channel thanking God I'd married a good sailor.
And that was the night I accepted William. There didn't seem to be any point in going on refusing him. Did you know about me then, Charles? Or not till afterwards?
I think I always knew.
You know, there's something rather luxurious in being able to sit back and tell a man you've been in love with him for 50 years. I guess I'm entitled to some sort of golden anniversary myself.
My dear Belle.
And you've never written your book, Charles, or gone into Parliament, all the things you planned as a boy?
I've never done any of them.
You would have done if you'd married me.
I wonder. You women are much too fond of thinking you can make geniuses of men. And anyway, there are far too many books written and far, far too many people in Parliament.
You had great gifts, Charles.
Not really, Belle. I might have had a shot at politics, but there were so many far more important things to do.
What things?
Well, surely you've realised that any house that contains Dora also contains a number of little jobs. You would be surprised, for instance, what a very large number of shelves I have put up and an almost equally large number I've taken down. Then there have been children to play with, dogs to take walks, gardens to plan, neighbours to visit.
And you call these things important?
I do indeed. I call the sum total of any man's happiness important.
Have you been happy, Charles?
So happy that I'm sometimes tempted to erect a statue to myself. I should like people to be reminded that happiness isn't quite obsolete. Have you been happy, Belle?
That's rather a cruel question.
Oh, nonsense. Confess now, you haven't given me a thought for years.
I have thought of you every day of my life. I'm not ashamed to own it.
You never did have a proper sense of shame. You were a baggage at 7 and you're a baggage at 70.
Do you really think that? Did you think it 30 years ago, after William died?
It certainly every calls to. You came very near to breaking up this happy home, you know.
No, no, never that.
Then shall we say to putting rather a blot on the escutcheon?
But I didn't manage it.
No, you didn't manage it.
Well, don't gloat so. You were always cruel to me.
Because you were a challenge and a menace and always will be. Why, my dear, I was teasing you.
I was never too old to be hurt.
That's the first time I've ever seen you cry.
And it'll be the last.
God bless my soul, you preposterous woman. Two husbands, Lord knows how many sidelines, and just because one poor country lout managed to resist you... No, no, I won't sentimentalise with you. What you need's a stiff whiskey.
Oh, here you are. Why, Bill, dear.
We've been talking over old times. Poor William, you know.
Of course. Poor William. And your American husband. What was his name?
Elmer.
Poor Elmer. How I wish they could both be here. I suppose that wouldn't be quite practicable. Get her a good, strong drink, Charles.
Yeah, I was just suggesting it.
Lead me to it, Charles.
I'll be delighted to. Oh, good evening, Nanny.
Good evening, sir, madam.
Ah, they all asleep, Nanny?
Miss Scrap is. The other two are beyond human control. They've gone down to get some more supper out of cook.
Good gracious. Well, it's a very special occasion. Not finding it too much for you, are you?
Indeed, no, Mum. It's a great pleasure. It's been like old times here in the nursery.
How long have you been with us, Nanny?
47 years. I came as nursemaid when Mr. Peter was 6 months.
My dear Peter.
We shall see him again, Mum.
Of course we shall.
I've been thinking of him a lot this evening. And I keep on remembering you in that blue dressing gown with the little white bows, whisking in and out like you used to at night when any of them were ill, with your pretty fair hair down your back.
Fancy your remembering that. What a long time we've been friends, Nanny. And now you must go to bed, because baby will wake you early.
Good night, Mum.
Good night, Nanny. And thank you. For all these years. Sleep well.
Thank you, Mum.
Is she all right now?
She's doing up her face.
Poor Belle. She's as much in love with you as ever. At her age.
Aren't you in love with me?
I hope I don't make eyes at you. This must be the last dance. I told them to play those old waltzes at the end. People like them.
You notice Fenny tonight?
Mark my words. That chicken farmer is going to propose.
Good Lord, she wouldn't accept it.
Well, every woman likes to marry. Charles, I still haven't spoken to Cynthia. A whole day gone. I must tackle it tomorrow.
It's tomorrow now. Our golden wedding day.
Many, many congratulations, my dear.
And to you, my love.
Now we must go down. They'll be playing Sir Roger at the end.
No, no hurry. We shall hear it when it starts.
Our golden wedding. What do we have next? Diamond wedding? Huh. I'm sure we shall both live to be very old. Charles.
Yes, sir?
It isn't really the right moment now, but... Something Nanny was saying.
Yes, my dear.
It's something we haven't discussed for years. Has religion ever got any clearer to you?
No, my dear, I don't think it has.
I was afraid not. I did so hope that if I prayed about it and didn't worry you, but just took you to church every Sunday, that... Don't you believe that there's anything after life?
No, my dear. I'm just as I always was. No, that's not quite true. I used to be sure there was nothing, and now, well, I'm not quite sure of anything.
Oh, but that's a very definite improvement. You used to be an atheist, and now you're an agnostic. I think that's splendid.
You are an extraordinary woman.
Why?
You're so matter of fact.
I used to be afraid that God might punish you. But I see now that with such a good man, it could only be a question of his explaining to you. Of course, I do wish you believed, because you'd feel so much more comfortable if you went on, wouldn't you?
Yes, Donna. I'd like to go on.
You will, my dear. You see, the fact that you don't believe in heaven can't make it not there, can it? There are some very good modern books about religion. Shall I send for some?
Are you quite sure about heaven, Dora?
Utterly and completely sure, Charles.
And I find that more convincing than all the books that were ever written. You see, my dear, in all our discussions for the last 50 years, you have invariably been right. They're playing Sir Roger. We must go down.
It's been a good party, I think. Nothing spectacular, but very pleasant.
Very pleasant indeed.
Well, now it's over.
Not quite, my love.
Careful with these, Cynthia.
Do we need large glasses?
Oh, I do loathe laying the table. Gertrude could do it in half the time.
We always have laid the table for family parties. It's a sort of right.
Why don't we go on strike?
One doesn't go on strike against Mother. I can't say you're doing an awful lot, Edna.
I'm so cold. This dining room is freezing.
That's the lot, Marge.
Oh, thank goodness for
that. I don't think I shall come down at Christmas.
I don't know why you ever come. You know you loathe our family parties.
Well, I think I shall cry off. And Nicholas ought to, too.
Why?
On Fanny's account. He'd better come away with me.
Well, I'm damned. The way you put Nicholas in your pocket is absolutely sickening.
I quite agree. We know he won't marry Fanny, but the way you've got your claws into him, he'll never marry anyone.
How dare you speak to me like that? This is a conspiracy.
It certainly will be if you try to keep Nicholas away from home.
It would break Mother's heart.
You haven't been very fussy about Mother's heart. You haven't been home for 7 years.
How dare you?
Excuse
me. There's the napkins. And the mistress says, will you please make them into water lilies?
Thank you, Gertrude.
Apologise for that last remark to Cynthia.
I shall apologise for nothing.
Oh, chuck it, Hilda. You're perfectly right, Edna. I have not been home for 7 years, and as you make a point of knowing everyone's business, you probably know why. It was most graceful and charming of you to bring the matter up.
I oughtn't to have said it. I'm sorry, Cynthia.
That's all right, Edna. Well, it's not all right for me. Before this argument closes, there's something I should like you to know, Edna. I didn't like you when Peter married you. I haven't liked you during 25 years, and I don't like you now. Where are the Cruets?
Are those your sentiments too, Marjorie?
Of course not. And they're not Hilda's, really. Do you want to walk out with dignity? Or could you bring yourself to put out the salted almonds?
I'm much too upset. I've done nothing whatever to warrant this attack. I've said I was sorry to Cynthia, and you all know I was perfectly sincere in my attitude to Fanny. And if you wanted to hurt me, Hilda, you've certainly succeeded.
You'll have to apologise.
I shall not.
Oh, for goodness sake, let's get the table finished.
These flowers aren't up to much.
Oh,
come on in, Auntie. Give us a hand.
Well, this is a great occasion. I came here to your great-grandfather's golden wedding when I was a girl.
Did you, Auntie?
Such an enormous meal and the speeches.
Will you come down at Christmas?
No, my dear. I won't come here again. You can't play ostriches with time in this house. You just must not remember things. You take that to heart, all of you. Ah, now for a bit of extra war paint. Oh,
excuse me. Where are you going, Hilda?
To make it up with Edna. I don't seem to have any capacity for sustained rage these days. Still, it was good while it lasted.
There are the children. Did you have a nice time?
Oh, lovely, Mummy. Nanny showed us the secret passage and Bill crawled right inside.
Oh, shut up, Flouncy. I did it, I tell it.
Her ladyship sent these flowers from the hothouses.
Oh, corn in Egypt. Look, Sin.
Oh, I can't do these flowers all over again. How do they look?
Jolly funny, Aunt Sin.
They aren't meant to look funny.
I think they look splendid.
Thank you, Scrap.
Now run along and get dressed and don't give Nanny a lot of trouble. I'll be up to give them a last look over, Nanny.
Will you come and give me a last look over, Aunt Cynthia?
I will, darling.
Not dressed yet?
Look what Lady Ridgewell sent.
Oh, how very nice of her. Good gracious, Cynthia, what are you doing with those dreadful old flowers?
Oh, Mother, and I've been simply wrestling with them.
Throw them away, dear, and we'll have Lady Ridgewell's instead.
Granny, Bill got on the pony and he rode right round the paddock and then...
Oh, you've done it again, Flouncy. I rode it, I tell it. Next time you do it, I'll lamb you.
Hush, dear, that is no way to speak. Now off you go, all of you, to dress.
Come along, children.
Just 1 minute, Bill. Marjorie, can you absolutely guarantee that when your father says grace tonight, this child will not say Selfridges?
What about it, Bill?
I'll do my very best, Granny. But it sort of comes over me.
Come along.
Oh, really? One oughtn't to laugh at him.
I don't think there's much more I can do.
The napkins, dear.
I never could do water lilies.
Then I'll do them, and you shall sit and talk to me.
I ought to be dressing.
Cynthia, please. I've been trying to talk to you all this weekend. You're not happy.
Yes, I am, Mother. Perfectly happy.
But anyone can see you're not. Of course, your father and I have realized for years that there are things in your life you don't want us to know about, and we should never dream of trying to force your confidence. But don't stay away another 7 years. Because it really isn't necessary.
Did Edna tell you?
I should never dream of gossiping about you with Edna. But I do know that no woman of your temperament who doesn't marry could have spent all these years in Paris in, well, shall we say, a strictly conventional manner.
Don't you mind?
I can't think of anything that you could do quite terrible enough to make me want to lose touch with you.
It wasn't very terrible. We would have been married if we could have been.
Was he French?
No, English. His wife is French.
She won't divorce him?
No. Oh, it's over, Mother. He went back to her. I expect he got tired of me.
My dearest child.
Oh, I'm all right. It knocked me out for a bit, but I'm over it now.
And is this all that's kept you away from us for 7 years?
I suppose so. Oh, Mother, how you've changed. You used to be so strict in your ideas.
I had 4 young daughters to bring up. But I have changed. There wouldn't be much point in living to be 70 if one didn't.
I always did like you better than any woman I'd ever met.
My dear. Must you go back to Paris?
I've finished with Paris. I can go to Raquel's London house if I like.
Why not come home for a little while?
You mean just stay on?
Only for a short time, of course. We never try to keep you. But just for a little holiday. You used to be so fond of the autumn. And we could slip up to town for some theatres and concerts. Do you remember our little jaunts? And if you could stay till spring. It's so very beautiful here. Very well, my dear. I won't press it, of course. Just thought you might like it.
I think I'd like it more than anything in the world.
You mean you'll stay?
If you really fancy an elderly prodigal daughter. Oh, darling, you're trembling, and you sounded so calm.
I was just a little nervous.
Oh, Mother.
No, oh, good gracious, don't start to cry, or you'll simply wreck your face. Now, hurry up and dress.
Yes, Mother.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right, Fanny. I'll come with you and get you a glass of sherry, Cynthia. Fanny. Would you do the water lilies? I'm afraid I wasn't quite concentrating on them.
Yes, of course, Mrs. Randolph.
Fanny?
In the dining room.
Oh, there you are. I took a telephone message for you about 30 minutes ago. Your charming chicken farming friend wants you to take tea with him tomorrow at 4:30 at his delightful bungalow so appropriately called The Nest.
Thank you.
Shall you go?
Yes, I think I shall.
Oh, what fun! You have such good taste in men.
Is that meant to be rude?
Yes, I think it is. Good Lord, what's the matter with you, Fanny?
What do you mean?
Well, encouraging this poor wretched man. Before you know where you are, he'll be proposing to you.
It's none of your business.
It's the business of the whole family. We've known and liked you for 10 years. The man's a common little bounder.
I don't think so.
Well, I suppose you were playing Kenneth off against him last night to bring him up to scratch.
Good Lord. I couldn't have believed you'd make yourself so cheap.
Please go away.
Dressing yourself up and giggling and flirting. And if you're going to use rouge, you'd better learn how to use it properly.
I'm not using rouge.
You were last night. And if you want to know, you looked like an elderly schoolgirl. Oh. What a damnable thing to say. I'm sorry, Fanny.
That's all right.
And it wasn't true, anyhow. You looked very pretty. I've hurt you, haven't I? Do you remember wondering if I could be cruel?
You said you never could be to me.
Oh, listen, my dear, there must be something behind this that I don't understand. Are you thinking of marriage as a safeguard for the future?
It's got nothing to do with that.
Then what the devil is it? Good Lord, I believe Edna was right.
What do you mean?
She said once that most women would rather marry anyone than no one.
I haven't made up my mind.
I can't conceive how you could even let him propose. Oh, Lord, let's chuck it or I shall hurt you again. Well, somehow the very thought of it makes my blood boil. I'm sorry I've been so insulting.
That's all right. Are you going to do grand toast tonight?
No, I suppose so. Never felt less like it. I'd better walk around the garden and try to mug something up. Well, you're making an awful mess of those napkins.
You've been a little distracting.
Oh, poor old Fenny. Well, you will marry him, of course. Otherwise, you'd never have led him on. Well, you must see something in him. God! I couldn't be more disappointed in anyone.
Fenny? Got a headache, my dear?
Just a bit. It'll go.
What is it, Fanny?
Oh, I can't bear it any longer. How could he? How could he?
Nicholas, of course.
Oh, everyone knows.
He certainly doesn't.
No, that's the one bit of comfort there is. Mr. Randolph, please tell me, was I vulgar and silly last night?
You were a little skittish.
He was so cruel.
Cruel?
But it's not his fault. Don't you see, he was so disappointed in me. And now I've got to go on pretending to be what he thinks I am. Never to let him see.
Why?
Oh, pride, I suppose.
Oh, I see. Is pride worth all that trouble? I never had any myself, of course. Was Nicholas really unkind?
Terribly. And he's always been so sweet to me.
Yes, I know.
Do you think I could marry Mr. Jones?
Mr. Jones?
You know, at the chicken farm.
Good gracious. I should hardly have said so.
I don't think so either. I don't even like hens.
Hmm.
Oh, there you are, Charles. Mine, dear. It's all right.
What is?
Cynthia. I had it out with her. And really, it's nothing terrible. Well, of course it is, but times change. Anyhow, it's over. And she's staying on indefinitely. What? And she'll be able to help me with Scrap.
With Scrap?
Yes. I had a letter from her father yesterday. I told you, didn't I? Well, I meant to. He wants us to take sole charge of Scrap for the time being, because he's marrying again. And she's taken a tremendous fancy to Cynthia. Oh, dear.
What?
I was thinking how terribly shocked my dear mother would have been about Cynthia. She had such rigid principles. But it's better to lose a principle than lose a daughter. I've had 3 glasses of sherry.
Dora!
With Cynthia, just to cheer her up.
Well, that's splendid. Have you seen Nicholas? I'd like a word with him.
He's probably in the garden, planning his speech. Ring the warning gong, will you, Charles?
Yes, sir.
Really, just look at these napkins.
Here are the lumps for the hot plate, madam.
Good. And bring some more napkins, Gertrude.
More napkins, madam?
Certainly. Something has occurred to these.
Now then, Nicholas.
Come on, Uncle Nick.
Ladies and gentlemen, if one may so address one's family.
Oh, shame.
No, we are an abstemious family, both in drink and speeches. We make one speech and drink one family toast at Christmas, at New Year, and at all our family gatherings. So we have always done, right back, I believe, into great-grandfather's day.
Right, right.
But tonight, wondering what I should say to you, it seemed to me another toast was called for. None of my generation remembers a golden wedding in this house. And indeed, I think they are rarer throughout the world in these days of later marriage and earlier divorce. No, but it is a great occasion for us all. And one I felt which could well warrant a break with our tradition. And so I planned another toast for father and mother on their golden wedding day. But then I knew this could not be, for they are the family, and never for any occasion shall they be separated from it in our thoughts. We have already given them our presence, good wishes, and our love, which indeed is always theirs. And now this golden wedding is no longer theirs alone, but ours to share with them. And so, once more, I shall propose grand toast to all our family.
Right on. Right on. Yes.
Now, wandering round the garden just now, I was trying to remember when I first proposed this toast.
The year your father had laryngitis, dear.
1919.
Oh, no, Hilda. It was...
I quiet you two.
Now, whatever the year, I know I felt very young and nervous. And I'd mugged up three quotations and two funny stories, which I meant to tell with exquisite point, and when the moment came, I didn't use any of them. Well, perhaps the patron saint of family gatherings came to my aid. Well, if so, I hope he may come again tonight. For again, nothing I plan seems quite right. We grumble at our families. We treat them as a bad joke. We hear on every hand that family ties are slackening. And yet, we pack the trains at Christmas going home. A sense of duty only? Well, I wonder. Now, we are an ordinary family. We own no crests, no heirlooms, and our few ancestors are very badly painted. Now, I wonder what they would think of us, great-grandfather with his twinkle, and grandmama. Well, it wasn't quite as fierce as her portrait would make out, but she was a little fierce. And I think she might shake her head and say, the family isn't what it was. And there, most honoured grandmama, lies its strength. It is, like nearly every British institution, adaptable. It bends. It stretches. But it never breaks. And so, I give you our toast. From that young man upstairs who has had the impudence to make me a great uncle, to mother and father, on their golden wedding, through four generations of us. And to those who have gone, and those who are yet to come. To the family, that dear octopus from whose tentacles we never quite escape, nor in our inmost hearts ever quite wish to. Ladies and gentlemen, grand toast!
Grand toast!
Bravo!
Well, bravo.
Very good indeed, my boy.
I never heard you so emotional, Nicholas.
Well, we liked it, didn't we, Scrap?
I rather query one of your similes.
Discuss it in the drawing room, will you, dear? Gertrude will be on the rampage. Good gracious, we never said after dinner grace. Oh. Charles, dear.
Yes, my love. For these and all thy blessings, we thank you, Lord.
Amen. You needn't pinch me, Mummy. I wasn't going to.
Get the maid started, Fanny.
Yes, of course.
Well, all you want to do now, old man, is to start a family for yourself.
I think you should have replied, Charles.
No, no, one speech is enough.
You rang, miss?
Coffee in the drawing room, please, Gertrude. Annie had better help you. I'll pack things up here for you.
Oh, don't you bother, miss. You go along in.
No, I'd like to. Tell cook everything was splendid.
I won't be long with the coffee.
Oh, hello.
Father forgot his glasses.
They're there.
Still angry with me?
You were the angry one.
Shall we make it up?
If you like. It doesn't matter, anyhow.
But it matters to me. Friends?
Of course. You know, don't you?
Yes, my dear.
Did Edna tell you?
No.
Who did then? Oh, I know, your father.
Yes.
He said pride wasn't important. Yes, he was right. I think I'm rather glad, you know. How queer. I used to think it would be the end of the world. It needn't worry you or embarrass you. After tonight, we'll never refer to it again.
Will you marry me, Fanny?
No. Oh, how could you? I can't help loving you. I'm not ashamed of it. It's been my secret happiness for years. I expect you meant to be kind, but pity is very humiliating.
Don't be a Juggins, dear. Men don't propose out of pity. I love you, Fanny. Don't you believe me?
I don't know. You are a truthful person. But surely you couldn't find out suddenly, just because your father told you.
Listen, I believe I've been in love with you for years and never realized it. And then after we'd been sitting by the fire the other night, something Edna said, quite inadvertently, made me see you as a different person. Do you remember our talk in the nursery, Fenner?
Yes.
Well, I think I almost knew I loved you then. But last night, you and your goings-on with Kenneth and that wretched chicken farmer. Well, I could cheerfully have killed a lot of you. I'm very much ashamed of myself. I suppose I was just plain jealous.
Glorious.
You'll never see a worse side of me than you've seen this weekend. The teething stage of love is very confusing. That speech I made just now was not only to the family, but to our future. Dear Fanny.
Swell me!
Bill! Fanny's going to marry me.
Crikey, I am pleased. That beastly Flouncey's not going to tell this one.
No, wait, not yet.
My dear, you'll never muzzle him.
Listen, everyone. Nicholas and Fanny are engaged.
Are you ready? Come on.
In Dear Octopus by Dodie Smith, Michael Dennison played Charles, Dulcie Gray, Dora, Charlotte Attenborough, Fenny, Nicholas Gex, Nicholas, Penny Downey, Cynthia, Mary Wimbush, Belle, Joanna David, Hilda, Annette Badland, Marjorie, Francis Jeter, Edna. Trevin McDowell was Laurel, Joshua Taub, Hugh, Michael Tudor Barnes, Kenneth, Mark Burrows, Bill, Sarah Jane Derrick, Scrap, Bernadette Windsor, Flouncey, Becky Hindley, Gertrude, and Dora Bryan, Nanny. The piano was played by Terence Albright. Dear Octopus was adapted for radio and directed by Glyn Dearman.